When we run this race of faith, we aren't alone. We're surrounded, Hebrews says, by a cloud of witnesses who have been through what we will go through, and much worse things. They surround us with their stories that we tell each other and ourselves for inspiration and hope. They surround us with our memories of them, and in some ways, with their presence with us.
That's the Reverend Beth Burkholz, and today she brings you a powerful message of faith and hope. I'm Peter Wallace. This is Day One.
Welcome to Day One, the weekly program that brings you outstanding preachers from America's mainline Protestant churches, sharing insight and inspiration from God's Word for your life. Now to introduce this week's preacher, here's our host, Peter Wallace.
Thank you, Sherry. Today on Day One, we're pleased to have with us the Reverend Beth Burkholz. For nearly 8 years, she served as associate pastor of Holy Trinity Lutheran Church in Marietta, Georgia, and ended her call there in May. Beth earlier served churches in Elberton, Dahlonega, and Atlanta, Georgia. A graduate in communications from the University of Tennessee, she earned her Master of Divinity degree from Trinity Lutheran Seminary in Columbus, Ohio. She blogs as Chick Pastor on WordPress. Beth, welcome to Day One.
Thank you for having me, Peter.
You were last with us about 3 years ago, but recently you made a big change in your life. May 1st was your last Sunday as the associate pastor of Holy Trinity Lutheran, where you'd served for almost 8 years. Tell us why and how you made that big decision.
Well, it was a huge decision because I love that congregation and I continue to love them and pray for them and their transition. But the senior pastor had been there for 22 years and had a long and wonderful ministry there, as I had as well. And I just felt like it was time to move on and give them a fresh start, kind of a new era, before they call a new pastoral team.
Your husband, Scott Seeke, is also a pastor, so that probably adds to the complexity of the decision as well, I would think.
Of course, and I think for any couple that has two careers involved, it's always complex what you do for your children that keeps them stable and things like that. And so he took a new call, and I'm really excited for him about that opportunity.
Where is he?
He's in Lawrenceville at Amazing Grace Lutheran Church.
Mm-hmm. You wrote a piece on your blog about how hard it was to pack up your office at Holy Trinity. You said you'd moved 7 times in your first 14 years, and this was your 4th call, so one would think it would be easy or at least familiar process, but it wasn't. What made it so hard?
I think because I stayed at Holy Trinity long past when many associates pack up and leave. And it was because it was a wonderful place to be. They were just always welcoming, always supportive. And also, 8 years for me, that's longer than I lived most places as a kid. And I had really kind of found a home there. So it was definitely more difficult. I had settled in more than I had at my previous calls, that's for sure.
What would you say are your gifts or the areas of interest in a pastoral ministry that suit you best?
Well, preaching, obviously. Preaching is my great love. And also teaching, as well as there are lots of names for it, I guess discipleship or empowerment ministry, but I love to find people the ministry that they love. That's just one of my great joys, is to go on that journey with someone or a team of people and find what they love to do in ministry, and to see them take off with that is just one of my greatest joys. So that's what I would call it, is empowerment ministry.
So you are in this transition, and there's a great deal of transition in the entire church these days, moving from old ways of doing things to new ones. Where do you see the church going?
Well, that's the huge question. I'm not sure where I see the church going, but I see it being faithful. And at the Festival of Homiletics, which was recently in Atlanta, I was commenting to my husband that the thing that I hadn't heard at the festival was any language around success. All the language I heard was about being faithful to your call and faithful to what you preach and faithful to your people, no matter what that might look like, and the work of doing justice instead of how successful your church can be if you preach a certain way. Mm-hmm. And if that's where the church is going, then I think that we were on a good path. Mm-hmm. We're on a good road, even if some of our careers might look a little different than when we thought in the beginning.
Mm-hmm. So what are you planning to do during this time in between?
Oh, gosh, it's so exciting. I'm planning to do more hiking. I hiked a section on the Appalachian Trail by myself right after I finished my call, which was wonderful and a little chillier than I planned, but wonderful. So I'm planning on hiking and camping and painting some rooms in my house and doing a lot of things that I just haven't had the time to do for these years, really. Mm-hmm. Catching up on some reading as well. So I'm really excited about it.
Mm-hmm. You also became certified as a yoga teacher last year. Do you find that practice to be helpful in your Christian faith?
Oh, certainly. I think that yoga is alongside of Christianity. I'm not a person that tries to make yoga into something that's necessarily Christian. Mm-hmm. I see it as kind of a parallel mm-hmm. to it, but it informs my prayer life for sure and teaches me to slow down and be aware of what my body is doing in prayer. I think sometimes we have the same posture and it's mm-hmm. hunched over. Mm-hmm. And yoga has taught me that there are ways that your body can tell you what's going on in your life mm-hmm. and that informs your prayer as well, that your body can tell you what's going on with you and God. And that has been hugely valuable and instructive.
Well, Beth, we certainly wish you well in your transition and whatever your next call may be.
Thank you.
Your sermon today is based on the lesson from Hebrews, from chapters 11 and 12. It's the end of a long section about the meaning of faith and its exemplars in Scripture. Would you read it for us?
Sure. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as if it were dry land. But when the Egyptians attempted to do so, they were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after they had been encircled for 7 days. By faith, Rahab the prostitute did not perish with those who were disobedient, because she had received the spies in peace. And what more should I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, quenched raging fire, escaped the edge of the sword, won strength out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received their dead by resurrection. Others were tortured, refusing to accept release in order to obtain a better resurrection. Others suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned to death. They were sawn in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, persecuted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves and holes in the ground. Yet all these, though they were commended for their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better, so that they would not, apart from us, be made perfect. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who, for the sake of the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God.
Beth, it's rather difficult to read about what these people went through because of their faith, persecution and even torture and martyrdom. Sometimes we think we have it hard, but how can we Christians today relate to that kind of faith?
Well, I think some Christians today in other parts of the world mm-hmm. are experiencing similar things. Like you said, we think that we are being persecuted or that things are a little tougher for us or for the church, but we're not in threat of our lives being taken in America and some other countries. That is exactly what's happening. But mm-hmm. I think that when you see what other people have gone through for their faith, and I think especially the early church, mm-hmm. when you think of what that must have been like, but yet it strengthened their faith, that is a paradox, I guess, that, I mean, you could think about that forever. Mm-hmm. And we have maybe as Christians thought about what the early church went through and how we're still here today. Mm. In spite of all the things that they endured. It's inspirational, really.
Mm-hmm. Well, Beth, we look forward to hearing your sermon, Surrounded by Superheroes. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you.
And if you'd like to listen again to today's program or read or share a transcript of Beth Burkholz's sermon, visit our website at dayone.org. Or for a free printed sermon transcript, call us toll-free at 1-888-411-DAY1.
I'm a person who loves new things. I'm getting older, but I still love trying new things, and I hope that's something that always stays with me. Every time I try to accomplish something new, the first thing I do is read the stories of the people who have done whatever it is before I have. Years ago, I decided that I would run a marathon, so I obsessively read books, blogs, magazines, anything I could get my hands or eyes on that would tell me exactly what it was like to run a marathon, and so that I could read stories about other moms with kids, people with disabilities, all kinds of people who have run marathons. I recently did my first section hike on the Appalachian Trail, so I looked up all kinds of information about it. I talked to people who had hiked it. I read a book about a man who was blind and hiked the whole thing with his dog. I wanted to hear all the stories so that I was prepared for what it might be like. I even did this recently with Disney World. My family was going to Disney World for spring break, and my daughter and I were going to go to the parks for the first time in years. I read stories from people who had been recently, looked at their experiences, and tried to learn which rides were best to go to first, and which restaurants needed reservations. Here's my hint: all of them. It sounds a little crazy, but I don't regret any of this. It's true that the only way to truly know what something is like is to experience it, and that's true with all those things. But I love hearing other people's stories, especially people who have obstacles to overcome. It's really helpful to me to hear about how they persevered when it was time to stand in line for Space Mountain, or to push through miles 20 and 21 of a marathon, or how to set up camp when you're cold, tired, and hungry. I like surrounding myself with stories of people who accomplished more than I can ever dream of, so that I can take just one more step. In the book of Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews was trying to do the same thing. He or she was trying to tell stories that would help the community of the Hebrews to accomplish their goals. In this case, to become people of faith in the midst of being persecuted. The author is trying to be encouraging to those who are navigating territory that seems unmapped, uncharted, and very scary. People were being persecuted for their faith and even killed. And at the same time, they were trying to defend their faith and make new disciples. They're a Jewish community who is trying to find their new identity as people of grace, not people of the law. And the writer is trying to be as encouraging as he or she possibly can. So how does he or she do this? The same way that many of us get our information and encouragement. By telling stories. They tell examples of people's stories, heroes of faith who have gone before, superheroes of faith. Moses, even, and Rahab. I love that she is included in this list. Her story isn't often told, But I love that the writer of Hebrews just kind of throws in the story of her great faith. Rahab would have been an awesome comic book superhero. When Joshua the king was about to conquer Jericho, he first sent 2 spies to scout out the land for Israel. Well, they didn't scout out the land so much as they went straight to Rahab the prostitute's house. When the king of Jericho asked Rahab to bring out the spies, she tells a faithful lie that the spies were not there anymore, when, in fact, she had hidden them on her roof in stacks of grain from the harvest. After the king leaves, she goes up to talk to the spies, and she told them that she had heard of all the good things God had done for the people of Israel, and that she wanted to protect them in the name of their God. And Rahab says in faith, "The Lord your God is the supreme God of the heavens above and the earth below." Rahab made a deal with the Israelites that her family would be spared from the battle that was going to happen. And they were spared because the spies told her to hang a red cord outside their door and they would not be touched. After this, at some point, Rahab converted to following the God of Israel, and her faith is held up as an example throughout the Bible. Rahab is also mentioned as being part of Jesus' family tree, one of only a few women to have that distinction. I love that she is held up as an example alongside Moses. How beautiful that her courage, quick thinking, and creativity is counted to her as faith. Rahab's story teaches us that having faith is scary sometimes and tough, but rewarding. We are taught that we're gifted with faith, but my experience has taught me that faith is also something that comes and goes, like the Spirit. When I've been in transition times in my life, waiting to see what my next call or adventure might be, I struggle between feeling just fine in God's care and being terrified and trying to research and control everything. But what Hebrews teaches us is that when we do this, when we engage in the tough work of faith like Rahab, we are in very good company. We are, in fact, surrounded by these people, these superheroes who have great faith. My grandmother, who is named Edna, died this past January at the age of nearly 94. She was a model of steady faith for me, faith in a God who had seen her through some tough times. And when she died, she was so ready to go home that she kept asking everyone, when she would wake up the next morning, "Why am I not with Jesus yet?" At her funeral, the pastor was celebrating communion and came to the part in the Lutheran liturgy where she would usually say, "The feast with all the saints." This time she said, "With Edna and all the saints, we celebrate the feast that has no end." I thought of that great cloud of witnesses, these superheroes of faith, and I know that my grandma has been added to it. When we run this race of faith, we aren't alone. We're surrounded, Hebrews says, by a cloud of witnesses who have been through what we will go through, and much worse things. They surround us with their stories that we tell each other and ourselves for inspiration and hope. They surround us with our memories of them, and in some ways, with their presence with us. But even with all those things, says the writer of Hebrews, God has even better things in store for us. How do we gain even better things in our long run of faith to the finish? Even with all the cloud of witnesses around us, the writer says what is important is that we keep our eyes on Jesus. Because I think that's what faith is, really. Keeping our eyes on Jesus. And knowing that Jesus has his eye on us. All of us. Even as we finish the race. Even as we keep the faith. Even as we're raised to new life. Amen.
The Reverend Beth Burkholz was our preacher for today. Beth is a Lutheran pastor and blogger, and most recently served as associate pastor of Holy Trinity Lutheran Church in Atlanta, Georgia. For a free transcript of her message, Surrounded by Superheroes, call us toll-free at 1-888-411-DAY1. That's 888-411-4255.
877-411-3291. Or write to us at Day 1, 2715 Peachtree Road, Atlanta, Georgia 30305. And remember, Day 1 depends on the financial support of our listeners. We're grateful for your support. I'm Sherry Miller. Next week on Day 1, we're delighted to welcome the Reverend Dr. Ruth Hamilton, pastor of St. Luke Lutheran Church in Atlanta, Georgia. Her sermon is entitled, Keeping the Sabbath Holy. You won't want to miss it. Beth Burkholz offers some final thoughts on her sermon today with our host, Peter Wallace.
Beth, every time you try to accomplish something new, you said you read all the accounts you can of people who have gone before you, whether it's for running a marathon or hiking the Appalachian Trail or going to Disney World. And while it's true that the only way to truly know what something is like is to experience it, you said you love hearing other people's stories, especially people who have obstacles to overcome. I can identify with that, and I'm sure others can too. So the writer of Hebrews was doing the same thing here, telling stories about how to become people of faith in the midst of difficult times. But why do you think such stories are so compelling to us humans?
Well, I think that's how we were made, and I was reading something recently that said we were created in a story and by a story for Holy Trinity Sunday that passed, I guess, a few months ago, that we were created through a story and that's kind of who we are. And I think that is something that's just never gone away for humans. It's part of how we live, is telling stories all the time.
And you especially appreciated the story of Rahab here in Hebrews. Rahab teaches us that having faith is scary and tough, but rewarding. Your experience, you said, also has taught you that faith is something that comes and goes, like the Spirit. Is there a way to keep our faith strong, or should we just accept that reality that it can come and go?
Well, I'm a parish pastor, so I will say going to church is a great way to keep your faith strong. And I love that in a community of faith, if you go when your faith is not feeling strong, there might be somebody else there who is feeling strong that day and could encourage you. You know, whether that's the pastor's sermon, which sometimes, or the person that's sitting next to you, I think that is found in community. Definitely that encouragement.
So we are surrounded by this great cloud of witnesses, including your grandma, Edna. So when we run the race of faith, we really aren't alone. Will you say more about how that realization can empower our faith?
Well, I've always loved the imagery of the great cloud of witnesses, but I hadn't really connected it to communion until the pastor at my grandma's funeral, even just a few months ago, said those words with Edna and with all the saints. And I thought, that is so beautiful that the community, which I talked about a minute ago, is not just here on this earth, but the community is surrounding us from all time, all of their stories, everything that they want to teach us. And what one of the most important things to me in preaching any sermon, and especially this sermon, is that people would know that they're not alone through those stories and through the knowledge that not only is a community waiting to receive them in the world and at the communion table, but also in the next life.
Beth Burkholz, thank you for being with us.
Thank you. This has been wonderful.
Day 1 is the voice of America's mainline Protestant churches. Visit us online at dayone.org. Our program is recorded and edited by Donald Jones and produced by Peter Wallace. Thank you for joining us. I'm Sherry Miller, wishing you all God's blessings on Day 1 and forever.